The reading I picked, I was led to this morning, was 1 John chapter 2, verses 1-29. Sounds a long passage, but it's scripture. And all scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, and disciplining. And it reads, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yes, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I am writing to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Christ, Jesus, is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his atonement teaches you about all things, and as that atoning is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Strong passage, a lot in it, a lot of meat in it. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to direct us through his word and the word that he's got for each one of us this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with me now as I bring your word. Lord, use me as your mouthpiece, because we only need to hear from you. You're the only one that's got anything worthy for us to hear. So Lord, I just pray to be with us and bless us. Feed us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, From Where Do You Get Your Strength? Now, for those of us who were here last week, we are well aware that it was Pentecost Sunday. And Rob brought us a message and informed us what the scripture tells us as how the church began on that Pentecost Sunday. Rob made it very clear and the importance of it. The meeting in Jerusalem when the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was delivered to those who attended, as we read from Acts 2:1-4, which reads, When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow, can you imagine that? How amazing that would have been on that day. Why was Pentecost necessary? Wow, you know, let's consider the following scripture. I'm sure you all recall that before the Pentecost happened, Jesus instructed his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until the Father sent them a helper, as it says in John 14:6-20. We read, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You know, in that reading from 1 John this morning, we learned that we've got an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. And in that reading from John 14:16, Jesus promised his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever. You know, that passage reminds me of the great promise that Jesus gives to each one who loves him at the end of the Great Commission. You know, where he promises, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Doesn't that sound similar to, surely I will not leave you as orphans? That says to me that Jesus knew that they and us need the Holy Spirit. We need to be strengthened if we're going to be able to grow in our faith and to be fruitful. I believe that it was important that the disciples trusted Jesus when he told them to wait. And you know, sometimes the Lord tells us to wait, and sometimes we don't. We rush ahead and try and do good things, when all he wants us to do is godly things. And we can get ourselves in the right trouble. So it's important that we learn from their obedience and we learn to wait on what the Lord wants us to do. It's important that each of us, just like the Apostle Paul says when he realized where his strength came from, as he states in Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You know, it's important that just like Paul, we remember that it's not our own strength. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. There's a beautiful old hymn that tells us, and I believe it's all we need to do to be happy in Jesus, and that's trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that obedience that the disciples showed before Pentecost, where they waited on the Lord, is one of the best things that we can do, is wait upon the Lord. We need to remember that although we are in the world, we're not of it, if we belong to him. And if we are to deal with all this world can, and make no mistake, will throw at us, we will need his power to get through it, to overcome the difficulties that this world will throw at us. You know, when you look at the world today, you can talk about anything. You can criticize anything you want, and you'll get slandered for it. It's a hate crime if you say anything about certain aspects that are going on in this world. But you can say anything against Christianity, and nobody turns a blind eye. Nobody really cares, apart from those who know the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I know whenever I hear things that I don't like about my faith, it's like someone sticking pins into me. It really hurts, really stings. And I've got to come to the Lord in prayer and ask him to forgive them and to strengthen me and enable me to cope with it. The only way we can hope, the only way we can achieve to deal with what the world throws at us, is to remain in him. It's important that we remain connected to the power source, because if that's where our strength comes from, we need to stay there. There's a nice verse in scripture from John 15, verse 5, where Jesus said to his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, could it be any clearer? Apart from me, you can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 4:20, we read, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Such a short, simple sentence, but it's something that we need to grasp. Now, from that, I would suggest, as the old saying goes, action speaks louder than words. So our actions, how we live our lives, how we treat others, must reflect our faith. We need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. I like it where James is referring to Abraham, and he tells us in James 2:22-24, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. That makes it quite clear. Our faith needs to be active. We need to be doing things. Believing is good, don't get me wrong, but you need to act upon what the Lord is directing you to do. And he's got a purpose for each of us. I mean, I was reading today in Word for Today, which I've thought very apt. You know, the Lord is building in each one of us. He's built in each one of us from the day we were born, from before we were born. And he allows us to go through difficulties in life and through good times in life before he calls us to himself. But all the things that we go through, if we have him in our life, he teaches us how to apply those things to our benefit so that we can do his will. And he will give us the power and the ability to do what he has planned for each one of us. So don't ever feel that, I feel the Lord wants me to do this, but I don't think I can do it. Step out in faith and put your trust in him, and you will be an overcomer, and you will put your, I was going to say fingers up to the devil, but I shouldn't really, should I? But action is required. You know, when the Jewish leaders tried to persecute Jesus, I like the way he answered them in John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. It's important to remember that Jesus had a good Father, and he saw him doing good things, and he done good things. And us fathers, we need to remember that our children see what we do, and they copy. So make sure you're doing the right things and not the wrong things for them to copy. You know, moving on to John, 1 John 2:24-25. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what is promised, eternal life. What a prize. You know, I think a lot of people in the world today, they don't realize John 3:16, which isn't on the board. I'm sure you all know it. I'm not going to insult you. You know, but God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the perish bit, have you ever thought about perishing? Have you ever seen a rubber tire that's been in a bicycle for years and years, and you take it out and it's just starting to go all bitty, and it's no use in the man or beast? You know, if you try to put in the air in, it would just bust. Well, that's what perishing is. It's being useless, totally useless, but not without pain, because if you don't know the Lord, there is only one other option. You're not going up, you're going to go down into the fire and brimstone. And it's not going to be a quick burn up. You're just going to be like turn the heating up till you get all hot and bothered, and then you might turn it down again, let you get comfortable, and then turn it up again. Just a bit like being in church here on a winter's day. We have the same thing here. Turn it up and down. But as I said previously, it's important that we remember that it's not about us, but all about Jesus. We need to understand that that's where we get our strength from. But we also need to understand the price that it cost. We were around the Lord's table this morning, remembering what the Lord has done for each one of us and the price it cost. You know, so we should not take it for granted. We should not think, oh, I've got his strength and I deserve it. You know, we deserve nothing. All we can depend on is his love, his grace, his mercy, and his care. Jesus calls all who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior to love one another, to honor others above themselves, to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing in love with each other. We need to rejoice and strive for full restoration, encouraging one another, being of one mind, and living in peace with each other and with the Lord. You know, and the Lord, remember, the Lord is always with us. If you are a son or a daughter of the Lord, you've got his Spirit dwelling within you. So that's the answer to this morning's title. Where do you get your strength from? It comes from the Lord, who supplies all of our needs. But the good news is, he always adds a little bit extra in there. You know, he loves us so much, he couldn't do any more for us. And all we've got to do is to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey and to remain in him. And he will see us through the difficulties that this world will bring our way. So with that I say, amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for your Son, Lord, who was obedient to your command and your will, and he went to that cross to pay the price for each one of us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly done that, and you loved us so much that you asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to enable us to remain close to you, because without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I don't know where I'd have gone. I'd have probably taken the wrong road about 60 times, maybe even 50 years ago by now. But Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless everyone here today. Help them to apply what you've got to say to each one of us, because you've got a message, different message for each one of us, because we're all at different places. We all need different nourishment from you, Lord, because none of us are perfect. And it's only your righteousness that we can claim as our covering. And we thank you, Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything you do for each one of us. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we just say, amen.